The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. Then Jesus said to them, "Clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God." So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Someone sent me this joke recently, and let's see if you can catch the gist of it. A woman goes to a lawyer and says, "I want to divorce my husband." The lawyer asks, "Do you have any grounds?" The woman replies, "Yes, we have 2 acres out in the country." The lawyer tries again, no, "I mean, do you have a grudge?" She answers, "No grudge, but we do have a carport." By the way, the rectory where the priests live has both a grudge and a carport. Exasperated, the lawyer tries a third time. "Well, does he beat you up?" The lady responds, "No, I get up before him every morning." Finally, the lawyer asks, "Then why on earth do you want to divorce him?" She says, "Because we just can't communicate." Would any ladies here who have trouble communicating with your husbands please raise your hands? It's another pandemic. In the gospel today, Jesus and his disciples are having trouble communicating. And their misunderstanding is not over grudges and carports, but about death and life. Jesus looks at death as temporary and describes death as simply sleep, saying, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I am going to awaken him." In other words, in Jesus' eyes, death is not the final state of a human being, but a transitional condition, like getting a good 8 hours of sleep at night before beating your husband up. But the disciples, especially Thomas and Martha and Mary, all see death as final and the worst thing in the world. Martha and Mary complain that Jesus arrives too late to save their brother. And Martha comments, "By now there will be a stench." That is, all the disciples, indeed the whole Old Testament, had a literal and scientific view of death. They would all agree with the old proverb, "The only two certainties in life are death and taxes." But Jesus thinks differently, and he approaches death liturgically and supernaturally. What does that mean? Well, have you ever heard the old saying, "He's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers"? You probably know that checker pieces only move forward and diagonally, and they are either cut or become a king. But chess pieces move in many different directions, some in an L shape, like the knight. Others can fly from corner to corner, like bishops and castles. And it's the queen who really rules the chessboard. You see, Jesus is the grand chess master, and he can easily manipulate death into a corner and finally checkmate him by his resurrection. Today, Jesus invites his disciples to sort of play chess with death But they are still stuck playing checkers. That is, until Jesus rises from the dead. And then they become chess masters too. They start to see that death is only sleep. And therefore they eagerly embrace death as martyrs for the faith. My friends, sooner or later, we all have to face death. The death of those we love or our own. And we can approach death like a checker player or as a chess master. That is, death can look scary and permanent, or it can be simply a pause, like an afternoon siesta. One way to deal with death as a chess master is by asking for the prayers of the dead. Did you know you can ask for the prayers of the dead? In other words, the souls in purgatory can pray for us, just like we pray for each other. For example, at the end of my rosary, I mention several people by name. For example, my nephew Noah Anthony, I say, pray for us. I remember a little boy named Warren Upchurch. Pray for us. I think of a devout college student named Connor Kordsmeyer. Pray for us. I recall two Catholic students who died at Mass at the Annunciation school shooting, Fletcher Merkel and Harper Moisky. Pray for us. I remember a 101-year-old man who wept when I took him Holy Communion. And I say, Jim Post, pray for us. I think of a 93-year-old mother of 15 in Morrilton, Arkansas. And I say, Irene Hoyt, pray for us. That is, checker players see death through the lens of science and their five senses. And for them, our beloved dead are in a grave and forever gone. But if we deal with death as a chess master, our beloved dead are very much alive. We cannot see them, but they can see us, and they can pray for us. And one day, we too will hear Jesus speak about our loved ones like he spoke about Lazarus. I am going to awaken them. Praise to be Jesus Christ.